Welcome to CU Today, the official podcast of Cameron University, hosted by President Dr. Shane Hunt. Each month, we bring you the Aggie Experience, featuring conversations with students, faculty, and staff about the exciting themes happening right here on campus. CU Today airs the last Monday night of every month at 6:30 on KCCU Public Radio. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or visit kccu.org for more information. Now, here's your host, Dr. Shane Hunt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the CU Today radio show. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I am thrilled today to welcome my guest, chair of the CU Foundation Board, an amazing alum, Jennifer Meeson, who currently serves as chief executive officer of the Cotton Electric Cooperative.
So, Dr. Hunt, thank you so much for having me today.
Did I say that right, Jennifer?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
You did.
I get excited sometimes and I forget something when I'm starting. So welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here to talk about Cameron University. It's made such a difference in my life, and I'm so excited to give back through the foundation and talk a little bit more about my journey and how I got here.
Well, and I will just tell everyone, in honor of our second CU Today show, both Jennifer and I complete Cameron colors on our side. So we're not on TV, but complete Cameron colors here in the radio station today. Jennifer, we talked a little bit off air before the show started. Can you just talk a little bit about where you grew up and what brought you to Cameron as a student?
You bet. So I am a proud Lawtonian, so born here in Lawton and grew up here, attended MacArthur High School. My family's here. My dad is also a Cameron alumni.
He graduated. Love to hear that.
Graduated with an agronomy degree, so a second-generation Cameron student. And, you know, what brought me here was the baccalaureate scholarship. So as I was a high school senior, one of my teachers, Connie Allison, whose husband, Tony Allison, was chair of the communications department, just wonderful people. But she had told me, hey, you should look at this scholarship and apply for it. And I was selected for that. And so I was able to start, you know, my college experience here at Cameron, close to home, but had just a variety of opportunities here and just really enjoyed the 4 years that I had at Cameron.
It's an amazing place, Jennifer. And I say this all the time, being here and being president for a couple months now, I have not ever been or seen an institution that person for person, faculty and staff, the percentage of people that care genuinely about our students and are looking to help them. And I think that's such a powerful thing. Now, you and I talked about this. So Jennifer and I are also marketing majors and marketers, but also we share the fact that that wasn't our first major. And I always love to say this to students. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You bet. So when I was a student at MacArthur High School, you know, there was the Cameron Science Fair.
Absolutely.
And so Dr. Ann Nally was my mentor for that project. And so I did a lot of the work here on campus. And so I thought, as a freshman, I'm going to be a chemistry major. I think I want to be a chemist. And I had a wonderful experience and I did enjoy it. But I thought, I don't know if this is exactly the path that I want to take. So for a short period of time, I thought, well, maybe nursing. Maybe I need to prepare for that. Volunteered at the hospital where I was born across the street, Comanche County Memorial Hospital.
Great hospital.
Yes. And discovered, well, that's maybe not the path for me. And so at the time I was working for a local bank in the accounting department. And so I thought, well, I'll try accounting. And I did for 3 semesters, got through intermediate, but I thought, you know, I don't know if this is what I want to do the rest of my life. So I changed majors to general business with a specialization in marketing, but also had interest in the public relations side of
things.
And so got a minor in public relations and took several classes, you know, with Dr. Evers.
Oh, well, it's such a great story. And Jennifer, I love that because I think a lot of times I've had students who tell me that they would see someone in your role as a chief executive officer, and they would say, well, I bet she knew all along she was going to do this and she was going to do this. And they're like, I'm not like that. And I always like to make that point that, you know, we were figuring it out the exact same way that they are.
Exactly. And I think that's really, you know, the message for students is, you know, you start and but you may change, you know, your path may take a turn. But everything that you experience and you learn along the way, you do find a way to apply that later in life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, For a time I was an adjunct professor here teaching fundamentals of speech. And I know many of the students like, why do I have to take this class? You know, one of the number one fear of people, public speaking, but it is something that I tried to help nurture and tell you will apply this, whether you're talking to a PTA, you're speaking up in church, you're speaking up in your business. It's something that you can apply. And I think all the general ed courses and everything that you learn along the way really does help you in the long run.
I 100% agree with that. And I think that's such great advice. And so Jennifer, you finish, you get a business degree, marketing emphasis at Cameron University. So talk about the path from there to being CEO as you are today.
Well, it is completely tied to Cameron University. So my senior year, I was visiting with one of my professors, Dr. Donna Evers, yep. Who was here at the time, about the bank was closing the mortgage department. That's where I was at the time. And I thought, you know, I would like to have an internship, some opportunity to apply what I've learned here at Cameron that would look good on my resume as I'm looking for full-time employment in a few months. And so she mentioned, you know, someone reached out to me from this electric co-op. It's in Walters,
yeah.
Which my grandmother's from Walters, so I knew where that
place.
Was.
Lots yes. of great students from Walters.
Yes. And she said, just why don't you call them? Because I do think it would be a paid internship. I was working on the Collegian newspaper part-time, mm-hmm. selling ads, and she said they have a newspaper, and that's what they're wanting help with. And so as a college senior, in October of 1999 is when I started working part-time for Cotton Electric, typing classifieds, selling ads for
Absolutely.
Their newspaper, helping them with the, you know, their just member services overall. And I found a career there that when I graduated in May, graduated on Saturday, and on Monday, I was full-time, you know, working for the co-op. And I didn't know, is this where I'm going to be forever? I didn't know, but now 26 years later, I'm still there, and I've worked in just varying roles there at the cooperative. But it's all because of that opportunity I had as a student here at Cameron that brought me to where I am today.
That's, Jennifer, that's amazing. And that's amazing. And when we talk to our students about the fact that your professors and staff members, people get to know you, part of the real benefit of that long-term in your career. So I had a very similar thing. It was a person who took the time to say, Shane's really good, and to recommend me for a job was how I got my first job at Williams coming out of school. And at Cameron, it's a place where people know you and can help in those ways. And sometimes that's not available at every school. And I think that's an awesome thing about being here.
Yeah, I think that is 100% true. I mean, the class sizes here, the relationships that you build with the professors, with the, you know, Cameron University staff, with the students that you interact with every day, it is really an experience that you don't get at a larger university.
Very much. And it's an amazing experience. And we've been getting to welcome new freshmen these last couple of weeks, and it's been awesome. Jennifer, I want to ask this. So obviously working in the energy industry, the future of energy, there has been a lot of talk in the state recently about data centers. We've seen some announcements in different parts of the state. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the trends you're seeing and maybe some things that you think listeners, because we do get, I get a lot of questions about energy specifically. So as we're trying to fund the power needs and support the power needs that we have as a society and as businesses, can you talk a little about that changing landscape?
You bet. So there has been so much change just over the last decade in the, you know, industry space or the electric industry space. And there is such an increase in demand from the electrification of vehicles to now AI data centers, some of which want as much or need as much power as what one generating facility can provide. And it's moving so rapidly, and the utility space is not one that generally moves quickly, but we are adapting and to meet that demand because we know that there is a need. I think the main thing for people to understand is it's all energy sources. It's all of the above. So it's what we need is our baseload generation for coal and natural gas. Renewables play a role as well with wind and solar. But we have got to make sure that we continue to have all of the above in order to meet the growing energy demand and needs of the country. And so I know that's always, you know, a question that people have is, you know, do renewables help? Does it have to be natural gas? Does it have to be coal? At this point in time, it needs to be all of the above.
Absolutely all of the above. And I think when we, you know, when you do economic development, right, and so I've had the privilege to get to work with groups in Southwest Oklahoma that are thinking about bringing jobs here, relocating businesses, there is no question they ask ahead of, do we have enough power to support our needs? I mean, it is an economic development engine on what that is. And also, when we talk about data centers, Jennifer, I don't think a lot of people know, when you say it can consume the entire plant's output, could you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So you have some, and they may start at what you would call, you know, like a 20 megawatt load. Mm-hmm. That would be the size of like a large natural gas processing plant that we have in our area over in Stevens County. But these can be, they grow to 500 megawatts,
wow.
1,000 megawatts. And so if you look at like a natural gas facility, usually they might be about 500 megawatts in size is what their output would be. And so that's, you know, what you're looking at is the needs for like basically a whole generation fleet just to supply the electricity for those data centers.
It's amazing. And when you said all of the above, it reminds me, I was at an event one time with the CEO of a large food company. And he said, you know, all the different types of ways that we grow food and all the things. He said, you know what we need? More of all of it. We need all of the above to feed a population that's 8-point-something billion headed for 10 billion to be able to do that. And I think our energy needs are very much the same way.
Yeah. And we can do it responsibly.
Absolutely.
I mean, we continue to make improvements because we do care about the environment. We live and raise our families here. And so that is important to us as well. So we continue to make improvements there. But again, it's like also utilizing technology. What can we do to improve? But what can we also do to grow to meet the needs for the future?
That's amazing, Jennifer. I've learned a lot just here today. As we wrap up the interview, there are a lot of students who are sitting in that class today, that chemistry class or that nursing class or that accounting class or that marketing class, that are thinking, I want to have a career like Jennifer does. Is there advice you would have to our current CU students who maybe are listening to this right now, starting their academic year?
My advice would be to take advantage of every opportunity, you know, whether it's the general ed class that you're not sure why I'm here, but it's like, what can I learn? What can I apply? Who can I get to know? Getting to know your professors and really looking at those opportunities as just a door to the future. You have no idea when you walk through that door, just like I did when I started that internship at, you know, as a college senior, that would end up being the career and where I was 26 years later. And I've had the opportunity to travel throughout the state, throughout our country, go to Guatemala to see, you know, a village electrified for the first time.
Wow.
That is something that I never probably would have done had it not been for that first internship.
I love everything about that, Jennifer, and I would say for students listening to this, hit rewind on your podcast button if you're listening to it that way, because what she just said in the last 30 seconds, I would double down and recommend so highly. Internships are amazing places for you to figure out what you want to do and in some cases figure out what you don't want to do. And consistently, I will have students who will tell me that first job or even more so their career was launched because they had an internship with a great company and all the opportunities that came after. Jennifer, great advice. Thank you for joining us on CU Today.
Well, thank you so much.
And thank you for everything you do for the CU Foundation. And we will be right back on this episode of CU Today with Dr. Lance Janda. Thank you all for listening, and go Aggies.
Hi, I'm Mary McClure. I have enjoyed hosting The Slice of Life on KCCU since 1993. Each week, I try to bring you wit, wisdom, and my observations of life, from current events to family memories. Join me Wednesday mornings at 8:45 and 6:44 p.m., and again on Sunday mornings at 8:35 only. On KCCU.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of the CU Today radio show. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I am so excited to welcome my friend and colleague, chair of the Department of Social Sciences, professor of history, and a new title. Please welcome my friend, Dr. Lance Janda.
It's great to be here.
Lance,
loving it.
So glad to have you here. And we've got so many fun things to talk about that you and I have some personal connections before we actually even knew each other in this role. But Lance, before we start, I say chair of the Department of Social Sciences, but you're adding a new title to that. Can you briefly talk about that?
Sure. I'm very excited that for the next academic year, I'm going to be acting dean of the School of Arts and Sciences, which is six separate departments on campus. Ironically, it doesn't include my department, but that's okay. It's gonna be great. We got a lot of gen ed, a lot of liberal arts and humanities in there, so I'm familiar with it, and I'm really excited to have a new challenge and some new opportunities to help students and help faculty.
Well, we are so excited, Lance, for your service and your leadership, and so many people have been excited and told me how much they're looking forward to that. So, Dean Janda, we're very happy to have you here
today. Thank you. Good to be.
We always like to start when we have a faculty or staff guest. I always like to start, tell a little about your journey. Where are you from?
Okay.
And then kind of your journey through your doctorate and how you got to Cameron.
So I took a long road. I was actually born in Fort Worth, and my dad worked for General Motors. And right after I was born, he got moved to Lawton, Oklahoma. So I actually grew up here when I was an infant. Got really sick when I was two, almost died in Comanche County Hospital right across the street.
Really?
It's okay. I survived. It's all right. The family lore was there was a blizzard. My dad was coming back from West Texas, and he had to get out of the car like a mile away and slog through the snow, so they put him in a hospital bed next to me. But every day when I come to work, I pass by the house we lived in. It's right on Gore Boulevard. So then we moved to Edmond. So I grew up there and went to high school, and then went to started out at Northeastern State University out in Tahlequah.
Yeah.
Ended up at the University of Central Oklahoma, bachelor's, master's there, then got a PhD in history at OU. First job out of PhD program was at a high school. The college market was tight, so I ended up teaching at a magnet school in Tulsa, Booker T. Washington. Go Hornets!
Absolutely.
It was a marvelous experience. Their band is amazing. They just, the Funky D's, they have steel drum corps and so on. So then I got hired on at Cameron, and so made the trek down here and lived in Lawton for a long time and came up through the ranks. I was, assistant professor, associate professor, and then at various points I got pulled into administration. So I was vice president for enrollment management at one point and was dean of the graduate college and then chair of my department, which was a great fit because you get a little bit of administration, but it's also a lot of teaching, and I love that. So, and all of a sudden, I'm starting my 26th year, and I don't know where all the time went.
Well, around 26 years ago, when you were getting your PhD at the University of Oklahoma, Lance and I actually had an encounter, not knowing that 26 years later we would host a radio show together. I tell the story being a first-generation college student, and I've never got to—I've told the story many times, but never in a way that's recorded, so I want to give a shout-out. When I went to the University of Oklahoma as a first-generation college student, my first semester, I did in 1994, fall of 1994, I did— okay, mediocre is probably a better word. And my second semester, the first class that I really did good in, and we had assigned seats, and it was a big class, but it was in Dr. Norman Crockett's American History Before the Civil War. And I never got a chance to tell Dr. Crockett this. That class and getting an A in that class, my first college A, was one of the things that inspired me to, go on and get a degree in all the things that have come after. I ended up minoring in history. I was a marketing major, history minor. And when I took my minor classes, I took two of the classes for my minor, also from Dr. Crockett. I took every class he taught, and he had some health issues my senior year. And the guest lecturer, I remember what this person looked like, and it was a 26-year younger Dr. Lance Janda.
It absolutely was, yes.
And you worked with Dr. Crockett during your time.
I did. I was, as a graduate student at OU, for a couple of semesters, I was his teaching assistant.
Wow.
And so I helped him grade papers and get organized. And once in a while, he'd have me guest lecture, and it was a great experience. And so when we stumbled across that common connection, I was amazed. And my joke with people since is, you're younger than I am, and you're the president, and I'm still a faculty member. So thanks for making me look bad.
I'm a faculty member, too. We're both professors. And it was just – but he had a huge impact on my life, and I wanted to give him that shout-out.
Yes.
Like so many of our students here, Lance, as I've heard so many students already say about you, who've taken your history class, have taken – most students have a professor or two that they say they changed my life. They gave me confidence. Yes. They did those things. So at Cameron, you teach. So one, we say history, a lot of things, right? Most people are familiar with the gen ed class, the American pre-Civil War, post-Civil War American history.
Right.
But you teach other things. Can you talk a little bit about what you teach here at Cameron? And then also talk a little about your research.
Sure. So I typically have taught the U.S. History Survey. I've taught both halves, but I'm better at the second half, so I do that more often. I've taught one of my favorite things at Cameron is when I got here, they asked me to teach a required American military history history.
I love that.
For the RTC program. And that's been one of the greatest experiences of my professional life. I love working with the cadets. I love being part of the program. I love it so much that my family, when my father passed away, endowed a scholarship for the RTC cadets.
I love that.
And it's just great. So I've taught upper division modern U.S. history classes. And then when we got a little shorthanded, I started teaching some modern European history classes. So I still do that. When I was junior and I would say yes to everything, I actually did some government and some geography, but modern U.S. is really, and military stuff is my bread and butter, national security stuff. And
yeah.
So my research, when I was PhD, first book was The Admission of Women to West Point. Mm-hmm. So I tell people I study chicks with guns. And so I've done articles on women in the military. And, you know, one of the great things about Cameron is we want faculty to be active scholars, but it's not important that they specialize in one narrow field.
Which I think is an awesome thing, Lance.
I
think
do
it's
too.
Huge.
I Absolutely. Do too. And for listeners that don't know, at the larger research universities, sometimes faculty's hands are tied because they're supposed to be experts in a really narrow, small field, and that's why they're hired. And they're not. They don't. The university doesn't always like it if you try and break out of it. So the good news is, I've done lots of different things. I've done biographies and encyclopedia articles and journal articles and web stuff. And the downside might be that I never focused on one thing long enough to become the expert. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, but it's been wonderful because I've had the freedom here to study whatever I want. What I'm working on right now is, next year will be the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn. And so I'm doing some research into a guy named William Frederick Benteen and his role there. And so it's been fun. The scholarship keeps the teaching fresh. And so
it 100% does. And I think, and I would say this to new professors, we welcomed an incredible class of new faculty members, new colleagues this month. That we're thrilled to be here. It is very appealing to me as a marketing professor, the same thing, Lance, that you talked about, which is that you have the ability to work on things that matter, that you care about, that you're passionate about, that can have a positive impact. And I think that's really a great part of being a professor here at Cameron. We talked about the research side. What are other things that you've loved being a professor? Clearly, when you've been someplace for 26 years, it's a special place to you. What have you loved about being at Cameron?
My two favorite things, and it may sound like a cliche, but for me, higher ed, and particularly Cameron, it's all about the people. I love the students here, and I have loved my colleagues. And there are bigger schools, maybe more famous places, but sometimes they can be impersonal for the students and for the faculty. And you know, my best friends work here. The people I have lunch with and that I like hanging out with are here, and the students. We get a lot of first-generation low-income at-risk, as you know. And I wasn't necessarily a low-income at-risk, but I was first-generation college.
Yeah.
And we weren't super high-income. My father helped me with that first semester, and then he said, okay, I'm done. You're on your own. And so I feel like I empathize with our students in a way that is harder maybe for people and I got bad grades in high school and I got bad grades as an undergrad. I was an underachiever. I wasn't mature enough to focus. And so I've had colleagues who come to me as a department chair and they'll say, well, I've had these students, I can't get them to focus. And they don't understand because they were never like that. They were super high achievers, always had good grades. And I get it. And I'm like, no, you got to understand. They're 19 and there's nobody in their family that went to college and they don't have a role model. And so it's very exciting to me to be, because you can see when sometimes our students haven't had a really good, passionate teacher or professor before. And you can see, and you start to see the head comes up, and I'm sure you've seen it in classrooms.
I have.
And you start to see there's a flicker, and for the first time, they're having a thought. And they look and they're getting it and they're enjoying it and they're excited by research or learning something new. And that's the thing that you live for, that I think when I'm old and retired that I'll look back on. And I really love students. The hardest thing actually about becoming an acting dean is I'm going to teach less.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm still going to teach one class, but I had a moment the other day because I ran into some freshmen Mm-hmm. I just love freshmen.
Yep.
And they were trying to find, they were nervous and excited and looking for their classes, and I helped them find them. And another group had their mom and dad with them, and then they left. And I got sad because I'm going to teach fewer freshmen now. It's hard. So Cameron has been wonderful because the students appreciate good teaching. They're not entitled. They're not spoiled. And you can see the difference you make in their lives in a way that might be harder at other institutions. So the people that stay here are just as committed as I am, and it's wonderful to work with them.
I agree wholeheartedly on that. I think, you know, I was not a good student as an undergraduate. Yeah. I was an underachiever. Yeah. I wasn't focused on that. Wasn't anything bad. Just wasn't locked in, didn't have good study habits, didn't do those things.
What made the light come on for you?
Well, it's a great question. It was professors.
There you go.
The first professor that did that was Dr. Norman Crockett.
Yep.
And it's something I've told that story about him so many times in the 30 years since I took his class because he, I never got the chance to tell him, but he changed my life.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, there are countless people. There are some that have told me, but there are countless people that took Dr. Janda's class and you changed their life. And I like to think that I changed students' lives in marketing.
Sure.
And when you have that great teacher and you get to see that impact.
Yeah.
And you get to be part of that, it's what makes this the best job in the world.
It is. You're tired at the end of the day, but you don't go home guilty. You're proud of what you tried to do.
You're so proud of what you try to do. And I would say this too, and I think this is an important thing, Lance, is what you said about the culture here. I have never met a more committed, dedicated, intentional group of faculty and staff than what we have here. And people have asked me, what's the biggest surprise that you've had in being president 2 months? I said, I thought I would love the people, and what I thought, it's been 100 times more.
Yeah.
It's a special place. Lance, let me finish with this. We have welcomed an amazing group of new freshmen this month.
Yay.
What advice would you have to a new student coming to Cameron University?
Oh, golly, I could go on for days. And in fact, I used to do that when I was in enrollment management. Here's the 10 things you need to know. The big thing is get to know your professors.
Yep.
A lot of students are too shy to do that. But what I always tell them is go see them in their office hours. They're the ones that can help you do better. You want them to find their Norman Crockett.
You absolutely.
For me, it was Robert Griswold. He was at OU too.
Yep.
Or if I talk about eighth grade, it was Florence Mae Robertson, my eighth grade teacher. Had a beehive.
Yep.
You might be too young. You ever have a teacher with a
absolutely
beehive?
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. All right. So yeah, so get to know your professors. Get involved on campus. You don't want it to be a place where you just drive and go to class and go home. You want to get involved because it's more fun, and you'll make friends, and you'll make connections, and you get more out of the experience. And I also would tell them to try to be deliberate about enjoying it. A lot of students are in a super rush to get their degree and go make six figures doing whatever it is they think they're going to do. And what I try and tell them is, look, this may be the only time in your life when you get to study what you want to study, surrounded by people
absolutely.
Who are passionate about it as teachers and as educators. And I'm all for being an adult and having a job and making tons of money, but getting to learn what you love and being surrounded by people that love learning and love teaching is a special thing, and you shouldn't race through that. Those are the three things. There's 35 other things I would tell them, but we're pressed for time.
But I would agree.
But that's what I would lead with.
Lance, I would agree with every one of those. I would encourage students to do every one of those things, to get to know people, to take advantage of the experience. And I would say at every age, life is more fun if you participate.
There you go.
In everything that you do. Dr. Janda, Dean Janda.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for everything that you do at Cameron and everything you make possible for our students.
I appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening. It is an amazing month. We are so thrilled to welcome back our students and welcome a brand new freshman class of new Aggies. And we couldn't be more excited for the year that we have ahead. Thank you all for listening. This is Shane Hunt. We'll see you next time on the See You Today radio show. Go Aggies.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of See You Today with President Dr. Shane Hunt. Until next time, stay proud, stay strong, and go Aggies.